In a March 30th live appearance on the Fox network, Donald Trump said it was good that Democratic proposals for increased voting protections and ballot access, including vote by mail, same-day registration, and early voting, as well as equipment and staffing to make voting safe during the pandemic, were not included in the coronavirus relief package. The things they had in there were crazy, Trump said. Quote, they had things, levels of voting that, if you ever agreed to it, you'd never have a Republican elected in this country again. Close quote. If Trump was guilty of saying the quiet part loud, as a number of commentators pointed out, the Washington Post can be charged with saying a straight thing crooked. In the Post's March 30th account, quote, Trump didn't expand on the thought, but he clearly linked high turnout to Republicans losing elections. The most generous reading of his comment is that he was referring to large-scale voter fraud resulting from the easier vote-by-mail options. Trump has in the past baselessly speculated about millions of fraudulent votes helping Democrats in the 2016 election. The more nefarious reading would be that allowing more people to participate in the process legally would hurt his party because there are more Democratic-leaning voters in the country. Close quote. Well, which do you want to be, generous or nefarious? And baseless speculation about fraud? That's also known as lying, right? So now, the generous reading is that a person who has lied about this very thing is lying about it again. There had to be a clearer way to get that across. The reporter, Aaron Blake, would likely say, if asked, that he believes and thinks readers will take away that nefarious reading. Yet here we have the specter of voter fraud, debunked again and again, including in the Post, being legitimized by consideration. Reporters may think this is tactful, grown-up language, when it's actually misleading, milquetoast language that does the opposite of what journalism is meant to do, which is clarify issues, break down doublespeak, and help readers understand what's happening. Which is that the president of the country has declared himself an opponent of one-person, one-vote democracy. We already knew that, but he said it out loud on the record. The thing to do would be to take him at his word and to assume that his actions have been and will be of a piece with this expressed view. And if you really want to get wild, you might actually be critical of this anti-democratic position, call for resistance to it, and actually platform those who do resist it. Democracy dies in darkness, the Post's Trump-era branding tells us. True, but sometimes also in broad daylight, if you smother it with blah, blah, blah. There's a boilerplate passage that the Associated Press likes to insert into its stories on the coronavirus, as in their March 30th piece, under the headline, What You Need to Know About the Virus Outbreak. It's the first language after the heading, What You Need to Know. Quote, for most people, the coronavirus causes mild or moderate symptoms, such as fever and cough, that clear up in 2 to 3 weeks. For some, especially older adults and people with existing health problems, it can cause more severe illness, including pneumonia and death. The vast majority of people recover. Close quote. Well, that sounds reassuring, doesn't it? Especially if you're not an older adult or a person with existing health problems, you might even be thinking, what's the big deal? Well, for one thing, existing health problems are extremely common. Half of American adults have high blood pressure, one of the most prevalent pre-existing conditions among COVID-19 fatalities, according to a study of Italian deaths from the disease. Other common illnesses associated with coronavirus deaths include diabetes, which affects 9% of American adults, and coronary heart disease, which affects 7%. Altogether, according to the Federal Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, up to half of all non-elderly Americans have pre-existing health conditions. So the some that are liable to more severe illness may amount to most. African Americans, by the way, disproportionately suffer from high blood pressure and diabetes, as a race-aware media would be pointing out. A Centers for Disease Control report looked at domestically acquired cases of COVID-19 in the U.S. from February 12th to March 16th, a total of 4,200 cases, more or less. Of the patients whose ages were known, 70% were under 65. In this group, the hospitalization rates for patients 20 to 44 was at least 14%. For patients 45 to 54 and 55 to 64, it was at least 21%. Among the elderly, the hospitalization rate was about half again as high. Only patients under 20 had a hospitalization rate comparable to that of influenza, with at least 1.6% of cases in this group going to the hospital. Almost a quarter of the hospitalized patients required intensive care. Of these, nearly half were under 65. Only patients under 20, the report found, never needed intensive care. And some of those who require intensive care may never recover full lung capacity. These figures need to be understood in the context of the limits of the U.S. hospital system, which has less than 1 million beds and less than 80,000 intensive care beds. Even a small fraction of adults, elderly or otherwise, catching the coronavirus would risk totally overwhelming U.S. health care. The CDC's summary of its data sends a much different message than AP's boilerplate. Quote, COVID-19 can result in severe disease, including hospitalization, admission to an intensive care unit, and death, especially among older adults. Everyone can take actions, such as social distancing, to help slow the spread of COVID-19 and protect older adults from severe illness. Close quote. As for AP's claim that the vast majority of people recover, of the roughly 140,000 U.S. cases to date, some 4,500 have recovered and 2,500 have died. The outcome of the rest has yet to be determined. In China, the only country where a major outbreak seems to have been brought under control, 93% of some 81,000 cases have been resolved, and of those resolved cases, 4% were fatal. By way of comparison, which AP's glib assurance to the vast majority fails to provide, the seasonal flu kills 0.1 to 0.2% of the people who come down with it. In China, officials moved quickly to pause economic activity and tested aggressively so asymptomatic carriers could be identified and isolated, preventing hospitals from being overwhelmed on a national level. The United States has so far failed to follow this example, and our major national news service lulling readers into a false sense of security only delays the time when we will begin to do so. Finally, you're reading stories about which corporations are doing right by workers, paying them even through the closures made necessary by the pandemic. Reporting by BuzzFeed News says, hold up on that for a minute. BuzzFeed's Tasmin Nashrullah spoke with workers from big brand stores like Ann Taylor and American Eagle, now soaking up praise for announcing they would pay workers through the downturn. And workers say they aren't actually doing that. Our associates are at the heart of what we do, and they will be paid for their scheduled shifts during this time, announced Gary Mudo, the CEO of Asena Retail Group, whose brands include Ann Taylor, Loft, and Lewin Gray. That's in his announcement. After BuzzFeed News reached out to Ann Taylor for comment, the part about paying store associates was removed from the statement. That's the kind of shady that's going on, with workers saying the companies misled not just the public, but their own employees, sending messages saying they'd be paid for scheduled shifts, and then just dropping them from the schedule. One American Eagle worker learned she'd be paid for 0 hours because she was a flex associate, a term she'd never heard before. It feels like a dirty trick after what they said, because I could have started working on another job somewhere else 3 weeks ago, wrote Jessica Slack in a note to her manager, who replied, I understand how frustrating it can be. Just know that you are not alone. Well, yeah. These workers aren't saying they don't understand that the stores are closing, but that management was anything but clear about what it would mean for them right up until the last second, while promoting their compassion to the wider world. Says Slack, they shouldn't get the press they're getting for being kind to their employees when they're not. You're listening to Counterspin, brought to you each week by the Media Watch Group Fair.